Leaders in the new Libyan government say they have evidence China tried to sell Muammar Gaddafi weapons during his final weeks as Libya's leader. Documents were discovered by a Canadian journalist. They reportedly show China was poised to sell $200 million worth of surface-to-air missiles and other weaponry through a third party. Those weapons could have been used to shoot down NATO aircraft. Meanwhile, negotiations for the peaceful surrender of Bin Walid, that's one of the last Gaddafi strongholds, have reportedly collapsed. This rebel medic hopes they can take the city without bloodshed.
I'm going to be relieved when we enter, but now I'm really not sure what's going to how they're going to act. I mean, I'm hopeful they're not going to resist.
That city is now surrounded by thousands of rebel fighters. The trial of former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak has resumed this morning. Four senior members of Mubarak's security force are the first witnesses to take the stand. They're expected to testify that Mubarak ordered a crackdown on protesters during the uprising against him. Back here in the U.S., Tropical Storm Lee has been downgraded to a tropical depression. Forecasters say, though, that the slow-moving storm still poses a flooding threat to some inland areas. And at least 40,000 people are still without power a week after Hurricane Irene. Yesterday, President Obama visited Paterson, New Jersey. That city was hit with its worst flooding in more than a century. In the markets, Asian and European markets are down, and Wall Street is, of course, closed for the Labor Day holiday. We want to hear what you have to say. Reach us by phone, by email, or at facebook.com/thetakeaway. We have a number of headlines coming out of Libya this morning. For example, that story about China was perhaps ready to sell some weapons to Gaddafi just a few weeks before his regime fell. And now the commander of anti-Gaddafi forces, he's now in Tripoli, and says he wants an apology. He wants the apology to come from both the U.S. and the U.K. That particular story can be traced back to the commander's transfer to a prison in 2004. His name is Abdel Belharj. He was then a terror suspect. He says he was being tortured because he was arrested in Bangkok at the behest of the CIA and then moved to a prison in Libya. And we know all this because of documents that were discovered in Gaddafi's Tripoli compound. The BBC's Jeremy Bowen asked him if an apology was really that important.
Yes, I think so. What happened to me and my family is illegal. It deserves an apology. And for what happened to me when I was captured and tortured, for all these illegal things, starting with the information given to Libyan security, the interrogation in Bangkok. I think I need an apology from those who did this to me.
Deterred by the Americans?
Yes, the American people, and those who helped them.
That's Abdel Hakim Belhaj speaking to our partner, the BBC. Joining us now, Jonathan Marcus, diplomatic correspondent for the BBC, joins us from London. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
All right. You know, there had already been rumors that this is was the policy that the CIA had been producing, that they sent terror suspects to places like Libya where, you know, people could be tortured without repercussions. So how embarrassing is this story?
Well, I think it's very embarrassing, not least because, of course, Mr. Belhaj now emerges as one of the leaders of the new Free Libya. I think it's embarrassing on a number of accounts, both for the British intelligence services and for the CIA. It shows the extent and scope of relations between MI6, the Secret Intelligence Service in Britain, and the CIA and the Libyans, really from 2003 onwards, when obviously huge efforts were made with the British playing a key role to bring Colonel Gaddafi's Libya in from the cold, specifically to get him to give up his weapons of mass destruction programs. It embarrassingly shows some of the tone and the warmth of that relationship in some of the documents that have been revealed. And of course, it opens up a whole can of worms as to exactly how long did this warm relationship between US and British intelligence agencies and the Libyans continue for. Did it, in British terms, for example, continue beyond the Blair and Labour governments, beyond the May 2010 general election? Did it extend up into the weeks and months, even before the war against the Gaddafi regime? So huge numbers of questions to be answered. And of course, it once again crucially, opens up that whole can of worms over rendition and the extent to which British security agencies may or may not have been complicit in that whole process.
We're speaking with Jonathan Marcus, diplomatic correspondent for our partner, the BBC, joins us from London. And Jonathan, I understand that there were actually a large cache of documents discovered in an abandoned office building in Tripoli. They were discovered, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, by Human Rights Watch. This is according to a report in The Guardian.
That's what we understand, indeed.
And I think that, you know, I think people are used to hearing about diplomatic relationships in which people are very warm with sometimes unsavory people. They're used to seeing Hillary Clinton shake hands with despots. They're used to seeing these photos of President Obama and the Prime Minister of the UK in these kind of chummy relationships. But there's more that's revealed in these documents, that they were actually using Libya as a partner in the war on terror.
Well, they were. I don't think that should surprise people too much. After all, the group that Mr. Belhadj used to be involved with, which was an opposition group to the Gaddafi regime, but it was a group known as the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group. They were seen in the West as a terrorist group. They were seen as a group that had ties with al-Qaeda. So perhaps it's not entirely surprising that as there was this warming of relations with Colonel Gaddafi, ostensibly to get rid of his weapons of mass destruction, that there shouldn't have been intelligence relationships as well. As I say, I think it is the scope, the scale and the warmth of those relationships which may surprise people. They sound much more than just a kind of a tacit, requirement to get along with each other. And, of course, the crucial question, since Colonel Gaddafi's regime suddenly became an enemy of the West again, is exactly how long did those warm intelligence ties actually continue?
Well, give us an example, Jonathan Marcus. Give us an example of these sort of warm relationship things that you're talking about.
Well, for example, Sir Mark Allen, who's a former head of counterterrorism for MI6, a very senior British intelligence official, was signing off letters to his counterparts in Libya as your friend Mark. There was an extraordinary degree of apparent warmth in some of the documentation, but also clearly, much more worryingly, the clear allegation from these documents that information was being provided to the Libyans that not only allowed them to pick up people, but also actually, in effect, delivered individuals into their hands, not least Mr. Belhadj himself. And that's clearly now why he says he's owed an apology.
Well, do you think that at this point it has a lot of relevance? I mean, there is a lot of stomach, both in the U.S. and the U.K., for pretty harsh treatment of terror suspects. And this is all coming after NATO helped the Libyan rebels take Gaddafi's regime down.
Well, indeed, but the chronology is everything. I mean, at what point did we cease to be bosom pals with the Libyan intelligence services? That's clearly one crucial question. Obviously, I don't think people should be naive. Clearly, there are often links with unsavoury intelligence agencies abroad, but also the crucial issue of rendition here is so important. After all of the controversy of people being shipped out to Guantanamo on black flights, flights that the British government had to admit at least two actually landed to refuel on British sovereign territory, opening up that whole can of worms again is, I think, a huge issue. And we know now that the Gibson inquiry, which is looking into the whole Guantanamo rendition affair over here, is now going to have its terms of its mandate extended to cover the allegations relating to renditions to Libya as well.
All right, that is the BBC's diplomatic correspondent, Jonathan Marcus, speaking to us from London about some documents discovered in one of Gaddafi's office buildings that may say sign embarrassment for both the U.S. and the U.K. Thanks, Jeremy. Jonathan.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.